Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I am very excited to introduce our guest today. This is Jody Moxham, and she is the chair of the Strategic Advisory Committee for the Dandie Denmont Terrier Club of America. And I know you guys think I sound like Kermit the Frog, but thankfully Jody is super smart, and she's going to share some information about a project that the Dandie Club is working on that I think is absolutely amazing. So welcome, Jody. I'm really happy to have you here today.
Well, thank you so much. And you do sound very Lauren Bacall-ish. For those of your listeners who are the same age as me, you know what, that's pretty sexy.
I'm running with sexy. That'll work.
Yeah.
So, Jody, I sort of stumbled across this project you guys are working on because apparently I was asked to participate in it. And you have a survey that you created. So I'm really excited for you to tell us about that and also to give us some background about yourself, which I think is applicable to this project you're working on. And this is going to be awesome. So give us the 411. You hit it.
Okay. I'll give your voice a break.
There you go.
Just a little bit of background about me, because I think then it'll make the program that we've undertaken a little more understandable. I had the good fortune that I was able to learn from the very best multinational marketers in the world. I worked with Nestle International, ExxonMobil, Campbell Soup Company, Gillette, Coca-Cola, I mean, on and on and on.
Wow.
We helped them improve their marketing communications in something like 39 countries.
Nice.
We became so well known for doing this work that after 9/11, the government called and asked if we were interested in adapting our methodology to national security interests.
That just gave me goosebumps.
Yeah. So that's what I did for the rest of my career with this company. We built it, we sold it, and then after we had sold it and I left the company, I got a phone call from Barbara Bays, who was the president of DDTCA. She asked if I would help them do an ad, and I said, no, we need more than an ad. If you're interested in me helping you do a program, I'd be very interested in that. So that was how the Strategic Advisory Committee was born, and it has the sole purpose of ensuring the long-term viability of the Dandie Denmont Terrier. We don't deal with anything other than those elements that are going to go into the viability of the breed.
And how long have you owned Dandies?
Oh, my goodness. My husband and I got involved, I think, 35 years ago.
Awesome.
I think I'm a 35-year member of the DDTCA. My husband had gotten a dog from the pound, and when she died, we so loved her that we thought she was so unique. We thought, well, let's do some research and see if we can figure out what she was. Everybody told us she was a mixed terrier. Well, she had this long body, low legs, white silky hair, big eyes, a personality that was absolutely charming and made us laugh out loud. Well, it turns out she was a Dandie Denmont. After we actually saw a Dandie,
right?
It was very clear that we had had a Dandie for 10 years.
Oh my gosh, that you got at the shelter. That's crazy.
Isn't it? Yeah. And nobody knew that it was a Dandie. The vets didn't know it was a Dandie. So then after we got our first Dandie, we decided that we would try to show him just so that other people would be able to see a Dandie and not wait for a year like we did before
Sure.
we actually saw one. And lo and behold, on his third show, he got a group three.
Oh.
Goodness gracious. We were all hooked. And then through good fortune and being here in California, I met Betty Ann Stenmark, who became my mentor. Talk about being lucky.
Yeah, you lucked into that one.
Yeah. So we got our foundation bitch from her, and we kept the freeway pretty free-flowing or pretty busy for a couple of years, cycling dogs back and forth, breeding together. But it was about that time then that my company started taking off, and I had been moved up to president. And it was just all consuming. So I kind of withdrew from Dandy activities, got off the board, et cetera, and then didn't get back involved until I got that phone call from Barbara saying, would you do an ad?
Nice.
So part of what I did is rely on all those years of experience and learning from the best. Just say, okay, how would the best marketers approach this problem? And that took me to, there is a thing called the product life cycle. Everybody in marketing is aware of it. There are four stages: introduction, growth, maturity, and decline. Well, the Dandy Denmont Terrier is clearly in decline.
Right.
And a lot of breeds are. So the options are either you just let it go, or you do what marketers do and you reinvent yourself. You reposition, you make yourself relevant today, and you put yourself back into the introductory stage. And then you've got a whole life cycle ahead of you. So that was what SAC started doing. That was the approach that we took, is, okay, how do we reinvent ourselves? The first step that you have to go through is you have to understand what's the problem. You follow a process.
Yes.
So when we got to what are the problems, we identified three problems. There are barriers to acquiring a dandy. Then there were barriers to breeding dandies. And then there are barriers that every breed has that are challenges to how do you get more dogs on the ground.
Right.
So you can't tackle everything at the same time. You can try, but you won't succeed.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the great pieces of marketing is to know that, right? Like to take each one as a piece. And I think that's so important.
Yeah, and corporations give themselves 5 to 10 years to turn around from being in the decline stage to getting back into the introductory stage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now in year three, and I think with the progress that we're seeing, we're right on track.
Nice.
So I can say with the progress that we're seeing, what I mean by that is last year we registered, I think it was 150% more dandies than we registered the year before. I think the same kind of increase was present in the UK. Members are joining the DVTCA at numbers so great that somebody just recently told me that we can't put out the hard copy of a mailing list anymore because people are coming on board so quickly that we can't keep up with it, so we're going to put it on the website.
I love that.
Oh, yes.
That's great
news.
Isn't
that cool?
Awesome. That is so cool.
And according to AKC, we rose 6 points in popularity, and that's after some years of decline.
Nice.
So when you put all of that together and there's nothing else to account for those changes, then you look to, okay, well, what's the program that's helped us get there?
Yes. What is that program?
Yeah. Okay. Well, starting with tackling barriers to acquiring a dandy, we started out doing a survey. Surprise, surprise. We wanted to find out, how did people get their first dandy? What were the good experiences? What were the bad experiences? How did breeders interact with them? We just explored a lot of things that went into acquiring your first dandy. And that revealed some pretty interesting things. One of the things that came out of it is that the older generation knew someone who had a dandy.
Mm.
The younger generations remember them from their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And what was clear is if we don't make changes, the next generation will have no memory or exposure.
Right.
And after that, we're not going to have any dandies.
Right.
So you can put a lot of statistics around all of this, but that's the big picture of it. Something else that we learned out of that first survey is that more than half of our respondents, more than half of the Dandy Denmont Terrier Club members are over 65.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a problem that is common across breed clubs, and it's just the graying of our membership.
Right.
It became very clear that we had two things that we have to accomplish out of that survey. One is we've got to get more people aware of the breed because people don't have enough opportunity to see them. And then also we need to bring more young people into the breed.
Mm-hmm.
So how we tackle the first one of those, the actions to overcome the lack of awareness, if you will, is we started developing an information kit. So we developed a look for the breed, color combination, typeface, you know, all the stuff that goes
right
into a coordinated marketing campaign. We developed a series of brochures and flyers, and we developed a process for breeder referral. We already mm-hmm. had a terrific referral person, but we developed a process and a package for her to send out. We selected videos that could represent the breed.
Were you able to utilize social media? I mean, a lot of clubs that I understand are really strapped for cash. You know, they don't really have the money to pay for some of these actual print resources. So how did you, I'm going to go way into the weeds on this because I love this idea, and practically, how did you accomplish it?
We have been on social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, and I think we even have a Twitter account. One of our people, Sheridan Delaney, manages it. She's on social media every day. She's alerting us anytime she sees a message from somebody who is looking for a dandy or expresses interest. She passes it on. So she is very active in it. The club itself was really fortunate. One of our members left us something in her will that has given us the reach to be able to do some of the things that we've done. But what we've done has not cost a lot of money.
Okay, good.
In fact, it's been very, very cost effective. So, okay, once you have the materials, then the question is, well, how do you get them in front of people?
Right.
We looked at a number of options, including advertising and doing a variety of things, and we settled on taking part in Meet the Breed activities because we looked at who do we want to attract, because for a small breed like a dandy, we don't have to attract the world. We've
right.
just got to attract the people.
And well, and you don't have the dogs to supply the demand. I mean, that's a conversation
exactly.
I had. Like with the Otterhound people are kind of in the same boat. You know, we need more people to have the breed, but we need to have dogs to give the people who want the, you know, that supply and demand piece is actually a
yes.
thing in the marketing concept.
Absolutely. So in the process of trying to increase the demand, we looked at, well, who is our target audience? And it's people who are looking for a dog rather than just the universe. So people who go to Meet the Breed events, these are people who are mm-hmm. interested in looking at the different breeds. So the club decided to fund participation in these clubs by paying the fee and so on. And then we also developed booth decoration materials. We
mm-hmm.
created a 6-foot poster at the back, and those standalone posters, all of them with pictures and information about dandies at different stages of life. And fortunately, we have such a committed group of participants or of people who love this breed
mm-hmm.
that nationally mm-hmm. last year, I think there were, I'm going to get this wrong, but I want to say something in the range of 100 people that volunteered. And I think we supported 40 shows or something
wow.
like that. It was Meet the Breed events and Celtic shows. So we have handed out literally thousands of these printed materials and exposed the breed to thousands of more people than knew about it before.
That's awesome.
It is. And this is an ongoing program. And it is one of our people, Diane Hanowitz, has just taken ownership of this and is running it like crazy. She makes sure that there are people. She selects the shows where there's going to be the most likelihood of getting attention and participating in the Tartan Day Parade in New York. I don't know if you know, the Dandy Dinmont is the only breed that has its own clan-sanctioned tartan.
I do know. And do you know why I know? Because your club was smart enough to donate one of your tartans to National Purebred Dog Day and Susie Zeremy.
Oh, yes.
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 I think that's genius.
Yes.
Genius.
Yes. That is Sir Walter Scott's personal tartan.
Yes.
That the head of that clan has given to the Dandy Dinmont as its tartan.
I think that's just awesome. And it's a great, I mean, I don't mean to say marketing gimmick, but I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, so being in the Tartan Day Parade in New York is just a perfect natural for us. And so anyway, all of that is part of the outreach program. So then that took us to the next step of how do we overcome. We knew that we had to bring more people to the breed. So right. We did another survey. And this one, we called it DDTCA Rising. But we sent this both to members as well as to people that we knew were friends of the Dandy Club, as well as people who had bought puppies but had chosen to not join the DDTCA.
Right.
So we wanted to find out what people, why they joined, what they looked for, what they were satisfied with, what else they wanted. It was broad ranging. Mm. We learned an enormous amount about what people were looking for and where they were dissatisfied and why people had chosen to not join.
Mm-hmm.
So then we set about correcting those. The board took action very quickly, changed membership policy, put a number of other things into effect. And that, I think, is part of why we are now having so many new members join that they can't put the mailing list out on a regular basis.
Right. Well,
yeah.
One of the things I'm hearing, Jody, that I think is really, really interesting and something for my listeners, you know, you folks that are out there that are involved in national clubs, I'm hearing rapid response from the board of directors, right? Like not diddle dawdling, not, you know, taking 28,000 votes on it. Rapid response from the information. Active participation from the membership, like you named specific people that are taking on specific jobs and following through with them, and responsiveness, right? So these are things that I'm hearing that are really, really applicable to other national breed clubs and parent clubs that can use these resources that you've successfully brought to bear for your breed.
I mean, it's a program that's worked for multinational corporations, for the USG, and now for the Dandy Club. So I think that it's applicable across purebred breed clubs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then that takes us up to, you were talking about supply and demand.
Right.
So now we've got the outreach program going where we're continuing to expose the breed to more and more people. We've changed the DDTCA policies, procedures, openness, welcoming programs, et cetera. So we're attracting more people. Now we need to be encouraging breeding. So one of the first things we did was we developed a definition of preservation breeding. And I'm just going to read it to you because it's important. And that is to breed Dandy Dinmont Terriers that retain the temperament, health, and sound movement to become an all-around healthy member of a family and to successfully compete in the activities that judge the soundness of dogs. So we're not just encouraging breeding to increase our numbers.
Right.
We are doing preservation breeding that will both increased numbers at the same time as preserving the best and achieving the standard.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's really important.
So this isn't just breeding willy-nilly. And I think, as you say, that's a critical piece to this, right?
Yeah.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
Heads up, crew. Join our patrons today. Get immediate access to the support of a closed Facebook chat group, special patrons-only episodes, free mentoring sessions, and more. Just like the NPR of dogdom, Pure Dog Talk brings you the news, the knowledge, and the insight to succeed with your purebred dog. In exchange, our Pure Dog patrons share the love with monthly or annual gifts, and that helps defray the cost of overhead and sort of keeping the MP3s rolling, you know? Hit me up, Laura at puredogtalk.com, and I'll hook you up with the details. One of the things that stuck with me when I had a kind of a similar conversation with the otter hounds, they are worried about, well, we don't want to see our dogs in puppy mills. You know, there was a negative sense from some of their members that they didn't want necessarily the breed to be more popular.
Right.
So I think that what you're talking about here is really a critical piece to successfully increasing numbers and increasing buy-in from your existing breeders.
Right. And I'm just going to comment about what the otter hounds are concerned about. Part of the reason that the Dandy Club, that we are struggling as much with registrations as we are, is because we were so concerned about puppy mills after having rescued.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was back in the 90s when I was on the board that we were rescuing or trying to shut down puppy mills and seeing the horrible conditions and saying, we will never allow this again. So we had contracts, we spayed, we right. neutered, and we ended up in the long run hurting ourselves.
Right. I think that's the important piece.
Yeah, there's a balance piece in there, mm-hmm. and it's finding that balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
Nobody said this was going to be easy.
No. That's why it's a 5 to a 10 year program.
Right.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. So then that takes us up to how do we go about encouraging breeders?
Mm-hmm.
So we started out talking with novice breeders and with people who decided not to breed. And we found out that basically they were confused because they got different answers depending on who they talked to.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know who to trust. And, you know, there's somebody in their backyard and there's somebody across the country. And, mm-hmm. you know, which one do you listen to? And so some of them decided that it's just not worth it. I don't know what I'm going to do, so I'm just not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We knew we wanted to develop a mentoring program. Then we talked with other breed clubs to find out what had they done and how satisfied were they. And there were mixed results, but nobody was really excited about the mentoring program that they had.
Mm.
So once again, back to the marketing model. That doesn't mean that they're not out there. There may be people who have a great mentoring program. I just didn't run across it in
right.
the research that we were doing.
Right.
So back to the marketing model. One of the things that marketers do is they put together panels of experts,
mm-hmm.
and then they do surveys of those experts to find out what do they do, how do they do it, et cetera. So that led us to, okay, let's put together a panel of expert breeders
mm-hmm.
and survey them and find out, you know, what is it that they all agree on? Well, there aren't enough Dandy breeders, even globally, to provide statistically significant answers. So we opened it up, and Betty Ann put an invitation. She posted something on her Facebook page asking people who were interested to volunteer. And oh my goodness, the caliber of volunteers that came in was absolutely breathtaking.
Awesome.
Talk about the best of the best. Wow, they were all stepping up. And then we added some more breeders based on reputation until we brought our panel up to 100. So then we decided that we were going to do a series of 4 surveys, single-purpose surveys. The first one is getting the bitch pregnant.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the one I just took, the survey I just took.
Yes,
yes,
it is.
Yep.
Yes, it is. And a sidebar, I've worked with SurveyMonkey for quite a few years, and I got a note from one of them saying, best survey title ever. Obviously, they don't hang around with dog breeders,
no,
right?
No.
Yeah. So getting the bitch pregnant is the first one. The next one is going to deal with finding the right mating pair or how to evaluate your bitch and what to look for in a stud
mm-hmm.
that will give you the best match
mm-hmm.
or the best likelihood of achieving the objective of preservation breeding.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is getting through a successful pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth one is raising a well-socialized litter. Well, I'm going to back up here. There's another piece out of the marketing world. Knowledge harvesting is a relatively new discipline or area that businesses have discovered. It started with the wildcatters
mm-hmm.
who were finding oil wells. And
right.
with all the technology today, nobody can equal their success, and they're all graying.
Mm-hmm.
So knowledge harvesting was developed as a way of harvesting their knowledge and preserving it for generations to come.
I thought that's what I was doing on the podcast.
Yes, yes, it is. Absolutely. Yes, I've listened to a number of yours that absolutely that's what it's doing.
Excellent. I'm so cutting edge. I had no idea.
Yeah. So part of what we're accomplishing here is by taking the best of the best and identifying what are those areas of agreement that they have. Mm-hmm. It'll give a foundation for people, novices, to start having conversations with breeders so they don't have to say, well, what does this one say that's different from that one? They can start talking about, well, what are the circumstances that led you to make that decision versus this decision? Mm-hmm. So it'll just elevate the level of conversation that they can have and get them into real mentoring faster. So that's where we are.
I love that, because part of the podcast, part of any of us wanting to do education, is we see people desperately seeking knowledge and going onto Facebook chat groups. And you're like, no, you can't. No, no, no.
Here we're getting the wisdom of the experts,
yes.
Not the wisdom of the crowd.
Yes. And sometimes there are gems in that crowdsourcing, but this is so much smarter, so much more efficient, so much more useful. And I love this. I just think this is genius. And now help me understand, is this something that once you are finished with it, that you are going to be willing to share with other national clubs?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Part of the way that the Dandy Club wants to be known in the purebred world is that we support breeders. We support purebred breeders that follow sound breeding practices.
Yes.
So that's part of our brand personality, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's part of what drives us. And we feel that we're going to have the most success breeding the best dandies if that's the positioning that we have, if that's the approach that we take.
And the fact that you are able and willing to gather that information using your incredibly specialized knowledge that not everybody has. The Dandy Club is so fortunate to have you. But in my opinion, the entire purebred world is, because now you're able to share that. And I just think that is amazeballs. Okay.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. You are so kind. You really are.
No, I really think this is amazing. So,
well, I think none of us are in this alone, and what one of us does should be able to help others.
Yes.
And so it's an approach along these lines. Next year at our national specialty, I'm thrilled with this piece. Pat Trotter, the legendary Pat
yes.
Trotter, has agreed to give a seminar on breeding.
Awesome.
At our specialty, and it's going to be that cluster in St. Louis at the Purina Event
yep.
Center that starts May 28th, I think it is, through June 5th.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's going to be open to all breed clubs. And
love
it's going
it.
To be a full-blown seminar that I'm very excited about.
That's wonderful.
It's taking what we're doing here and what you're doing in the way of knowledge harvesting and adding another layer on top of it.
Yep. I talk about this all the time, and I am so sincere about it. It is so important. These things that we are doing, these initiatives that are being done by clubs, by individuals, by whoever it is, these are new. These are things that have just started happening in the last 3 to 5 years across the purebred dog fancy, almost like a tsunami wave, but all by themselves. They all keep sprouting up. And the more I am able to bring them together, the more I can share your information and the gal that's making her own social media and Allison Foley and Vicky Ronchetti and all these people, the more we share and interact with this information, the better off we all are. And I love it. It just makes me happy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad, because I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said. Wholeheartedly.
Absolutely.
A creative director who had been labeled by Wall Street Journal as a creative legend.
Mm.
When somebody told him that he shouldn't share so much, or it was somebody who told both of us that we should not share so much.
Mm.
And he just looked at him and said, what do you mean? That's what we do. We talk. We share.
Right. You know, yeah. I like the one about, what is the saying? It's like a Buddhist saying that says, the tide lifts all the boats the same. You know, I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for your time, Jody. And I am grateful to have been involved in the survey to talk to you about it. So this is fabulous.
Okay. Well, I hope you get your voice back.
I need my voice back. I actually feel fine. I just... Donald Duck and I will go.
Okay. Well, I wish you the very best.
All right.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.